you're listening to a special preview of Groundswell, the exhibition of site-specific performances and works in sound, installation, broadcast, and movement, Saturday, September 13th at the Alana State Historic Site from 2 to 6 p.m. And one of the performers we're most excited about seeing at Groundswell is William Baczynski, and you're hearing On a Frontier of Wires behind me now, and William Baczynski is now on the phone from Los Angeles. William, can you hear us?
Yes. Hi.
All right. We can hear you, too. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
You are one of the legends in using shortwave radio static in musical composition. And that is a at this radio station, that is a big thing. I guess you're like Led Zeppelin on our station.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Introduce the listener who doesn't know about your shortwave work and other and many other types of styles. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been working using analog tape loops and feedback loops, and originally starting very early in around 1980 when we moved to New York, experimenting with shortwave radio, particularly shortwave radio static. One of the reasons I started using the shortwave radio, first of all, the sounds were fascinating, and another reason was in the setup we had in our loft in Brooklyn, we had all these old fluorescent lights strung around the floor of the loft. We found them in the garbage, and fluorescent lights are ugly when they're on the ceiling, but when they're on the floor, they made all the furniture just float, and so it had this real space age look to it. But what it also did was create a 60 hertz ground loop, which at that time I didn't realize what it was, but so there was this hum in all of my recordings. And so when I got the shortwave radio and I started playing around with that, I thought, ooh, this is cool, we can hide that hum. So it did more than that. It opened up a whole new universe of ideas and musical experimentation for me. So that's kind of how it got started with the shortwave.
And for Groundswell, you're not doing something with shortwave. Explain what you're doing for Groundswell.
I'm going to present my new work, Cascade, which is with tape loops, and I'll be using the computer and some tape decks if it's not too windy.
You're using some reel-to-reel decks? Is that what I read?
Yes, some small Ewer report monitors that I travel with. They're very portable. And
they're wind-sensitive?
Well, the loops are wind-sensitive in that they can be blown away pretty easily. So it just depends. If it's calm, the concert is outdoors. So.
Yes.
So hopefully the weather will be real nice and we won't have any problems with that. But if it's too windy, I can do it with the computer. The point about the show at Alana is to listen and look out at this magnificent landscape. It's on the picnic grounds on a hill overlooking the Hudson River and the mountains in the distance, and should be extraordinarily beautiful. And so it'll be nice to sort of... I love doing outdoor concerts. It's nice to have the sounds of nature come in with the music.
And I've heard you're actually familiar with this area in the Hudson Valley. You've been up here several times?
Yes. I was there in June for a site visit, and it's really, really beautiful. I highly recommend people to go. And we're going to have a real nice afternoon and evening, so definitely try to make it.
How did you first get interested in the kind of sounds that you use, the tape loops and the shortwave static? And were you originally a more conventional composer?
Well, I started very early, right out of school, and I had three major influences. Learning about John Cage in music school and his incredible freedom that he had to experiment and use chance, and then at that time the music of Steve Reich was coming out with his tape loop experiments, and then his masterpiece Music for 18 Musicians. And then the third point was when Brian Eno's Music for Airports came out with its deep melancholy, and all of these things just opened up all kinds of possibilities for me. And so I began looking for tape decks, and they were cheap and everywhere, and old tape. And so I got a bunch of junk and started playing around. And at that time, I lived in San Francisco, which has an incredible soundscape to the city. Maybe it's the mountains and the water and the fog and everything, but there's just an incredible soundscape going on there with foghorns and clicking cable cars and creaking buses and just all of this stuff, which was fascinating and just wonderful, rich sound. So I just started experimenting with what I had, and I got results, so I just kept doing it. And then we moved to New York, and I started working more along those lines there with shortwave radio and other things.
And there's, it seems like there's a gap in your from when you first, I'm reading that you recorded shortwave music in 83 and it didn't come out until 98.
Yeah, well, there wasn't any interest for a while there with what I was doing. In those days, you had major labels. That was it, really. But I kept working, and I ended up playing in a lot of bands and doing a lot of other things. And although I kept experimenting, and then, you know, I met Karsten Nikolai in New York in 96, and he loved the music. And I had just been sort of digitizing it, you know, and he heard it and said, oh, I want to release that. And I was like, wow, okay. Been waiting a long time to hear that. So that was the first time something was released.
And then that led to just a slew of releases since then. You've put something out almost every year.
Tried to, yeah.
It seems like the Disintegration Loops is seems like people's favorite.
The Disintegration Loops was really what sort of opened the gates, and kind of the critics really jumped all over it, and you know, it took off. So after that, I was able to continue to release work, and so I've tried to keep at it here. And
can you tell us a little about the Disintegration Loops project? How does that differ from, say, shortwave music?
Well, the Disintegration Loops project happened by complete chance in the studio in Brooklyn in the summer of 2001. I was, again, digitizing some tape loops that I had found in a container, and put the first loop on. It's beautiful, grave melody, something I was just like, wow, I don't remember this. This is awesome. Gonna make a new piece. So I started making a counter melody on my trusty Voyetra 8 synthesizer and turned on the CD burner and started recording. So this one loop is going around and around on a reel-to-reel deck that's laid flat on the table. And then I went to kitchen to get a cup of coffee and let it just sort of go. But when I came back, I noticed something was changing. And I looked and I could see dust in the tape path. Now, analog tape is plastic with glue and iron oxide dust glued onto it. Now, that's what holds the music. These tapes were very old. They were used when I got them, started recording on them in the 70s and 80s. And this was what I was afraid was going to happen, which is why I was digitizing all this old stuff. What happens is the glue fails and the music starts dropping out, starts falling off the tape. The dust, the rust turns, the iron oxide dust turns back to dust. So I checked to see I was recording. I was just pins and needles wondering what was going to happen. And what happened was, over a period of about an hour, this beautiful loop just dropped out in the most extraordinary way, somehow keeping at the very end the essence of the melody. All the sustains fell away. And over the period of 2 days in the studio, I went through these six loops, one after another, that were in this box. And a similar thing happened with each one. Each in its own time, in its own way, sort of collapsed. And then I had recorded sort of the life and death of each of these melodies. And it ended up becoming the disintegration loops. And it was quite a profound thing for me to see that sort of redemption is real, you know.
I'm wondering, since that was kind of a chance occurrence and that you work with tape loops, if you're influenced at all by William Burroughs and his cut-up style.
Oh, of course. Yes, definitely. Burroughs and Brian Geisen, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the piano variations pieces that I've done, many of, and still have more, were actually cut-ups from a very bad piano composition that I was working on. And the parts ended up becoming the stars.
So your mistakes often turn out to be your best works, or when things go wrong sometimes?
Mistakes are the great teachers, and yes, absolutely. I had a mistake in the studio the other day that I'm very unhappy about, but we'll figure out a way to go around it.
Sometimes they're not as helpful then, huh?
No, this was real bad.
And this is,
but we'll fix it somehow. It did lead to taking another approach, which could be good, but one of my tape loops got damaged, and I'm very, very upset about it. It's a new one. It's a really good one. So anyway, I'm going to deal with it.
And this is Cascade that you're working on, or is this a new?
Yeah, Cascade.
And so, give us the concept that's behind Cascade. And this is what the performance you're going to be doing September 13th, right?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. I'll have to see when I get there exactly how it's going to play out. But I think what we're going to do is, with this one, there's one very lilting, watery piano loop, also very old, a little bit crunchy, and it'll go along, and then it goes through I run it through a series of different length feedback loops, and it shifts and changes, and it's very organic. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be something like that, very minimal. And I think it'll be lovely for out there that day.
And I hear there's some sort of solar-powered sound system or something that they're working
on? I guess. I don't know.
We'll see, or we'll hear, I guess. if anybody wants to find out more information about you, where should they go?
They can go to the website, which is... They can just Google my name, William Basinski, B-A-S-I-N-S-K-I. And you'll see the website, mmlxii.com. And there's the catalog, there's news, there's press, there's all kinds of stuff there that they can find out about. And there's SoundCloud links as well. so you can hear excerpts of things. And yeah.
All right. Well, we are all looking forward to seeing and hearing you Saturday, September 13th. You're playing at the end of the show. Is that right?
That's right. 5 o'clock.
And at the picnic area that's overlooking the Hudson River.
That's right.
It's the maybe the most beautiful spot on a big hill of many, many beautiful spots.
It is extraordinarily beautiful.
Yes. All right. So thank you so much, William Baczynski, for joining us today. And we will see you Saturday, September 13th at Groundswell.
Thank you so much. See you there.
All right. Thank you.